I heard about a young preacher who was preaching his first sermon. And this old preacher came to him and says, "Hey, listen, I got this joke. It works every time. You're going to be nervous and people are going to be, oh no, what's this new preacher going to do? I heard about this joke and it works every single time. Tell it." So get up there and say, "Some of the best days of my life were in the arms of another woman." And he said, pause, let all those people, and then say, "My mother." So the young guy, nervous as a wreck, got up there and he said it. "Some of the best days of my life were in the arms of another woman." And his wife was sitting right there. And his mind went blank. So he said it again. "Some of the best days of my life were in the arms of another woman." And she was ticked up. She stood up and she was heading at him. And his mind is blank. He cannot forget. So he says it the third time. "Some of the best days of my life were in the arms of another woman. And I can't for the life of me remember who she was." I'm here today to say some of the best days of my life were because of my dear, oh godly mother. And thank God for our mothers. Thinking about great mothers in the Bible, I think about Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who prayed her boy into existence and wasn't just content that he existed, but she did everything to instruct him and train him in the way that he should go. I think of that mother in Matthew chapter 15 who her daughter was demon possessed. And she goes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, you got to help out my little girl. You got to help out my little girl." And it's a great story, Matthew 15. Jesus is silent. He doesn't answer her. And the disciples are telling Jesus, "Jesus, send her away, send her away." And Jesus says, no. "You got to understand, lady, I got to go to the Jew first, and then I'll go to the Gentile." And she says, "Jesus, no. You've got to help my child." And Jesus marvels at her faith. And he says, "Go your way. Your child is healed." I think of Eunice, the mother of Timothy, and his grandmother, Lois. Two great ladies, two great mothers. It says of their unfeigned faith that they passed on from generation to generation, and it passed on down to Timothy. And then I think of Jochebed. Great, great, great mother. Chapter 6 of Exodus tells us that the name Jochebed means, "The Lord is my glory." And Moses was a most interesting and unique and special person. He was a child of a slave. And he was a son of a queen. He was born in a hut. And yet he lived in a palace. He inherited poverty. And he enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was fitted for the city and he wandered in the wilderness. He was backward in speech and yet he talked with God. He was the giver of the law and he was the forerunner of grace. He was a fugitive from Pharaoh and he was an ambassador from heaven. He died alone on Mount Moab and yet he appeared with Christ in Judea. You say, what was so special about Moses? Listen to this. He had the hand of God upon his life. And he had a godly mother who wasn't going to take anything less than her son walking and living for Jesus in his ways. This morning I want to talk about five characteristics of this great mother, Jochebed. Sermon's entitled Traits of Motherhood. First characteristic I'd like for you to notice: a mother's courage. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. Now the land of Egypt at this time was a pagan land, and they worshiped many false gods. They worshiped cows, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped the moon, they worshiped frogs, they worshiped locusts, they worshiped the river. And as a result of their low view of God and all of their false God, they had a low view of human life. So they didn't like the population growth of these Israelites. And so they were throwing all of the male babies into the crocodile-infested Nile River. So it was into this environment that Amron and Jochebed have a son. It took courage to have a son in that day. It took courage to say, I'm going to have a son, and I'm going to do everything I can to raise this son in a manner that the Lord is pleased with. So it is today in our life. Our world is a little nuts. Our world is calling good evil and evil good. It's crazy. But somebody's got to have some courage. Somebody's got to have some backbone. Somebody says, no. It is a crazy world. And yet this crazy world needs some godly children that will grow up to be godly men and ladies and will stand for their faith. Thank God for her courage, who didn't let the wickedness of the day keep her from having children. It's imperative that you understand, when God gives you a child, there are forces in our world that are trying to destroy your child. They were doing that with Jochebed, and she says, no. I'm going to bring a child into the world, and I'm going to trust God to use that child in our world despite the forces that are trying to kill it. A mother's courage. Secondly, notice. Mother's commitment. Notice verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Now that word goodly, it means pretty. So she had a pretty baby. Now, I've been to the hospital a lot. These mothers are having these babies. And I don't think babies are pretty. I didn't think my babies were pretty. I mean, babies, they're just, they've been through a lot of stress. And they've been screaming their heads off, and they're still just kind of disfigured and discolored. And, oh, what a pretty baby. They're lying. It's not a pretty baby. Except, Acts chapter 7, verse 20, the Bible says that Moses was exceeding fair. So God says, Moses was a pretty, he was a good-looking baby. Josephus, in his writings, he says that Moses was such a fair child. The men of that day, that they stopped working to go and see this good-looking baby. Here's what the statement means. This child was beautiful to God. And I'm here to say, friend, all children are beautiful with God. Hey, remember that song? Sing it with me. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious. Jesus. If I don't make it at preaching, I think I can make it at leading music. Hey, Jesus loves all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus thinks all the children are pretty. Notice this. Hebrews 11, verse 23, they're going to put it on the screen. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Listen to this. Because they saw he was a proper child, And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Do you get it? He was a proper child. It means he was exceedingly favored. It means they recognized that God had his hand upon this child. And notice the next phrase. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Wait a minute. The king can have them all killed. The king could not only have their youngest killed in Moses, he could have Miriam, their oldest, he could have Aaron, the three-year-old, killed as well. But they say, no, we're not afraid of the king. We're afraid of God Almighty and not pleasing the real king, so we will buck the earthly king in favor of the real king. Thank God for a mother who had some backbone, who said, no, God gave me a child. He put his hand of blessing upon this child, and I'm going to do everything in my might to raise this child despite what our world says, and despite what our world is trying to do. Jochebed realized she had to do something. There are forces that are trying to destroy my child, and I got to do something. Listen to me, parents. She was in his business. Now, parents today say, I just don't want to invade their privacy. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't have privacy. Seriously, I'm 46 years old. I had dinner with my mother on Friday night. My mother at 46 is still invading my privacy. You been eating good? Nope. You been eating your vegetables? Nope. You been eating Little Debbie's? Yep. She's still meddling in my life. You been exercising? Not a bit. Kids need a godly mother, listen to me, need a godly mother that are going to be in their business. Listen. The world's in their business. The world's coming after them through every means of social media. They're trying to destroy your children. You're saying, I just don't want to invade. Fine, the devil says, yeah, I do that, mother. Don't invade. You just live in your fairy tale world. I'll invade and I'll mess your child up. Thankful for a mother's commitment. Thirdly, notice a mother's confidence. Jochebed realized that she couldn't keep her child in the house forever. She says, okay, I can't shelter this boy. I can't keep this boy from the world. But if my boy is going into the world, I'm going to do everything to protect my boy when he goes out into the world. Notice verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. Great meaning of the word bulrushes. And daubed it with slime and with pitch. Pitch in the Old Testament is translated 73 times. Redemption. Great picture there as well. And put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. An ark in the Bible is always a picture of safety. Remember Noah? He protected all of the animals from the danger outside by putting those animals into this ark. So when the wind came and when the floods came, the animals and Noah's family were safe because they were in the ark. And Jochebed says, if my boy's going into the Nile with all of those crocodiles, I'm going to do everything I can to build an ark of safety for my child. I'm going to do everything I can to protect my child so when the world is coming and when the crocodiles are coming and when evil is coming on my child is safe. So she places this child in the ark of bulrushes. And then notice verse 4. She puts Moses' older sister looking out for him. Just protecting him. Friend, that's what all of our kids need. They need a mother that's going to instill. They need a mother that's going to prepare them for what they're going to experience. So they need a mother that's going to do everything she can to ensure their safety. And yet, she needs to be talking. Hey, look out for your little brother. Hey, teacher, if you see my kid acting up, let me know and I'll wear him out. Hey, ma'am. At the school cafeteria, hey, look out after my kid. If you don't like the friends he's hanging around, let me know. That's what she did. She was in Moses' business. Look at verse 6. The Pharaoh's daughter comes along. She finds him sitting in the ark of bulrushes, verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe cried, I wonder if an angel pinched it. And look on. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. You say, wow, that was a lucky occurrence. Friend, this wasn't luck. She did not just place her child in the Nile River. She prepared a safe place for her child in the Nile River. But when she placed her child in that ark of bulrushes in the Nile River, don't you know that she prayed and prayed and prayed, God, be with my baby. God, protect my baby. God, watch over my baby. God, you brought this boy into our life. God, you gave us this child. You've got to help us protect this child. Please. She was praying morning, noon, and night. This was not coincidence. It was divine providence and a praying mama. And I'm saying, ladies, listen to me. I don't care if your son is 46 years old or he's 4 years old. Your son needs a praying mama that's praying for his protection. Do you realize the world we live in is crazy? There are all kinds of loose women that are going after men. There are all kinds of, in this day and age, loose men that are going after men. And we need godly mothers that are praying for their children, a mother's confidence. Notice number 4, a mother's consecration. Look at verse 7. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Verse 8, Miriam said, I happen to know this Hebrew woman who can do it. And she goes and gets Jochebed. Look verse 9. Pharaoh's daughter says to Moses' mother, not knowing who she was. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child and nurse it. Notice this phrase. And I will give thee wages. Hold on a second. That's our God. When you say, God, I'm going to do it your way. God, I'm going to do it according to your word. God, I'm going to bug society and I'm going to pour my life into raising a child that loves and honors and glorifies you. Listen. God blesses you for it. Listen, she did not lose her baby. She got to keep her baby and she got paid. All the other Hebrew ladies, they were losing their babies. She didn't lose her baby. She kept her baby and she got paid to raise her baby. That is God honoring our ways when we say, I'm going to do what's right. Notice verse 9. And the women took the child and nursed it. Don't you know that she took old Moses home that day? And she knew, I don't have much time. The days are short that God has given me to pour my life into this boy. The days are short that I have to instill the truth into this child. I'm going to train and I'm going to educate and I'm going to teach and I'm going to encourage this boy. Her days were numbered with that child. Hold on a second. All of our days are numbered with our children. I remember some 22 years ago, everybody said, yeah, enjoy those kids. They grow up quick. Like, yeah, y'all stop saying that. I just hear it over and over and over. They do grow up quick. it seems yesterday they were crawling around the house. And now they're not even around the house most of the time. They grow up quick. Her days were short. Her days were numbered that she had that possession of that child. And so are yours. Whether they're children or whether they're grandchildren. Hey, come on, come on. You have a limited number of days. You have a limited opportunity to instruct, to love, to pour your life into that children. Don't waste those days. Three preachers were talking about what is the best translation of the Bible. And one preacher says, well, I think the King James Version is the best translation of the Bible. It's literal. It's from a good textual manuscript. I like the King James Version of the Bible. The other preacher says, I like the ESV. It's more modern day English and it's a good translation. I like the ESV as the best translation of the Bible. Third preacher was just kind of quiet. And they looked over at him and says, what's the best translation of the Bible in your opinion? He said, the Living Bible. They said, the Living Bible? He said, yep. My mama lived it every day in front of me. And I learned about God from my mother. And I'm here to say, moms, your days are numbered. Grandmother, your days are numbered. And you must model it. You must live it. You must demonstrate your faith before your children. Because turn around and they're gone. Don't waste this opportunity that you have. Number four, her consecration. Number five, and I'm done. Look at verse 10. A mother's compensation. She has him for just a few years. And then that inevitable day comes. Verse 10. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. Do you remember that first day you took your kids to school? That first day of kindergarten where you pulled up and you walked them in and you dropped them off. And your heart was just sinking. Your heart, my baby's no longer a baby. Francis's gone. That's what Moses' mother felt like. But it wasn't school. She went and she dropped off Moses, and he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. Don't you know she questioned herself? He moved into the fast lane of Egyptian society. He was living with the high rollers. He was living in a prominent position. He would be on the front page of the Egyptian Times. He was out there in front of everybody, and he wasn't in a place of faith. And she was questioning. I wonder if I did the job that I should have. I wonder if my kids is going to make it in this worldly environment that he's living. I wonder if my kid is going to keep his faith. But she kept holding on to those times where she would lean over into Moses' ear and say, Moses, there's going to be some times they're going to mock your God. Don't believe them. Moses, they're going to tell you lies. Don't believe them. Moses, they're going to tell you to not walk in the ways of God, to walk in the ways of the world. But Moses, do not believe them. History tells us that Moses went to the University of Hierapolis. Listen, at that time period, there were 10,000 students in that university. History tells us that Moses, in that environment, it was the Harvard of that day. It was a very scholarly institution. And history tells us it was a very immoral and pagan place. I could see them. Moses, You came from an ape. Moses, there is no God. There is no creator. And they're filling his head with junk. How's old Moses going to respond? Is Moses going to believe their lies? And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, Moses, when he turned 40, understand this, Pharaoh had no other children other than his daughter. His daughter had no other children other than Moses. So they were literally at the age of 40 presenting the Egyptian empire to Moses. Moses, you can be the leader of the free world. Moses, all you have to do is say yes. Moses, all you got to do is embrace this way of life. Moses, what are you going to do? I can see those nights. Oh, Jochebed, was it worth it? I wonder if I really got through to him. Now he's being wined and dined and pampered. I wonder if I really made a difference. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Jochebed, I wonder if I made a difference. I wonder if he got it. I wonder if he got his faith or if he's being wrongly influenced in the way of the world. That day, they present the kingdom to Moses. Moses, do you want it? Moses says no. Moses, you can't turn this down. Moses, you are the only child. Moses, this is your kingdom. We've educated you. We put a lot of money into you. Moses, you can't say no. No. Moses, don't be one of those weird religious right people. No. Don't be one of those Hebrews. No, you are an Egyptian now. Leave those people behind. Moses says, I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the riches of the people of Egypt. I'm sorry. My mother taught me truths to live by, and I choose I'm going to live by those convictions. That day, she was compensated for her labors. And I'm here, and I'm coming to you, ladies. And some of you say, I don't know. I don't know about my child. I don't know if all of that time I put into him, I don't know if he's going to turn out. There's going to be a day. You're going to see that boy step out of an aisle and walk down the aisle and accept Jesus as his Savior. And that day, you're going to see him putting his faith in Jesus. That day, you'll be compensated for your labors. It's going to come a day. He's going to be in those high school years. And he's going to start to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to get involved in that youth group. I want to get involved in that youth ensemble. And you're going to see that snotty-nosed kid that you just kept wiping his nose and everything else. You're going to see that boy up there singing. And that day, you're going to be compensated for your labors. It's going to come a day where that boy is going to be standing right here with me. And some beautiful girl is going to walk through those doors. And he's standing here and he's standing there with her. Pure. Save themselves for each other. And on that day, you'll be compensated for your labors. And there's probably going to be a day you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be lonely in your empty nest. I wonder if I truly made a difference. and you're going to go out there to that old mailbox and you're going to open up that mailbox and you're going to pull out a card, a note from that boy. And it's going to say, "Mom, I was just thinking about you and thinking about all that you taught me. And I just wanted to say, thank you, Mom. I love you." That day, you'll be compensated for your labors. And then the phone's going to ring. You run over to the phone. You pick it up. "Mom, I got news for you. Mom, I got news for you. You're not just a mom. You're a great mom. And you're going to be a grand mom." You're ecstatic. You don't remember your thoughts. You're just goo-goo, gaga, babbling around. And before that son hangs up the phone, "Mom, my only request is I can be half the parent to my child as you were to me." Friend, at that moment, you'll be compensated for your labors. You say, "Preacher, what do you want me to do?" If you have a pulse, I want you to give everything you have to your children and to your grandchildren. "Well, they're old, or they're away, or they're going down a wrong path." If you have a pulse, I want you to do everything you can. That means notes, that means emails, that means texts, that means calls, that means meddling, that means invading privacy, that means seeking God, that means praying, that means visiting, that means late night talks and early morning talks. I'm saying you get one opportunity with those children and with those grandchildren. And you will never, listen, you will never, ever, ever regret the time you spent with those kids. Please, do not waste them.